Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a regular business meeting for May 1st, 2018. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, and Westman.
Thank you. And did we hear from anybody as to them not being here this evening or being late?
I did not.
Okay. Okay, we'll go ahead and announce for the record when the other council members come. Will everybody please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item that we have on the agenda this evening is a proclamation for National Day of Prayer. Proclamation, National Day of Prayer, May 3, 2018. Whereas one of our nation's great strengths is the freedom we hold dear, including the freedom to exercise our faiths freely. For many Americans, prayer is an essential act of worship and a daily discipline. And whereas today and every day, prayers will be said for comfort for those who mourn, healing for those who are sick, protection for those who are in harm's way, and strength for those who lead. Today and every day, forgiveness and reconciliation will be sought through prayer across our country. Americans, give thanks for our many blessings, including the freedom to pray as our consciences dictate. And whereas we give thanks for our liberties, we must never forget those around the world, including Americans, who are being held or persecuted because of their convictions. Let us remember all prisoners of conscience today, whether their faiths or beliefs, and whatever their faiths and beliefs, and wherever they are held. Let us continue to take every action within our power to secure their release, and let us carry forward our nation's tradition of religious liberty, which protects Americans' rights to pray and to practice our faiths as we see fit. And whereas annually the President of the United States of America issues a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as National Day of Prayer, now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, Mayor of the City of Monroe, Washington, do hereby support and encourage the residents of Monroe to join me May 3rd in observing National Day of Prayer and join the citizens of our nation in giving thanks in according with our faiths and consciences for many freedoms and blessings and in asking for God's continued guidance, mercy, and protection. Thank you. Is there somebody here tonight to receive the proclamation? Thank you very much. Would you like to say a few words?
I want to thank the mayor and the city council for this proclamation. Thursday evening at Cascade Community Church, we will be observing this as a community with combined churches and leaders of our community. We invite all to come at 7 p.m. It's a great time to come together and pray for our nation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please let the record show that Councilmember Camp and Councilmember Gamble entered chambers at about 7:02. Good evening. All right, the next item that we have, is a proclamation National Correctional Officers and Employees Appreciation Week. Whereas in 1984, Ronald Reagan issued proclamation number 5187, National Correctional Officers Week, and formally recognized the corrections profession and the difficult and at times dangerous natures of corrections work, and whereas correctional officers and employees teach, train, mentor, counsel, and treat inmates and provide inmates with direction, hope, and new focus while assisting with reentry and life outside corrections, and whereas selfless concern and the courage to endure whatever ordeal they face are commonly held values among our corrections officers and employees. And whereas the Monroe Correctional Complex originally opened in the city of Monroe in 1910 and is the second oldest operational prison in the state of Washington. And whereas the Monroe Department of Corrections mission is to improve public safety through the vision of working together for safe communities. And whereas the Monroe Correctional Complex employs 687 correctional officers and 484 non-custody staff, for a total of 1,171 employees. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby encourage people in our community to join me in recognizing and sharing our appreciation and gratitude for the dedicated service provided by corrections officers and employees, especially during the week of May 6 through May 12, 2018, for National Correctional Officers and Employees Appreciation Week. And I understand that we have a couple of people here this evening from the Monroe Correctional Complex, Superintendent Oberland, Superintendent Jackson, Superintendent Warner, and then our Monroe Correctional Officer of the Year, Christopher Lee. Would you like to come on forward and say a few words?
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the proclamation and the support for the Monroe Correctional Complex. I'm Michael Lemon. I'm the superintendent there, and myself, on behalf of Eric Jackson and Jack Warner, and certainly Chris Lee, our Correctional Officer of the Year, we want to thank you and the council for this this honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We really appreciate the work that you do and the partnership that we have with the DOC. So thank you very much for coming this evening. Council and I are going to come on down, and the record will show that Councilmember Davis is now here. The next item we have on our agenda this evening. The next item we have on the agenda this evening is public comments. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. Speakers have 3 minutes to speak to Council. The first person that we have who has signed up to speak this evening is John Graham. Mr. Graham, please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm John Graham. I live at 9017 180th Street Southeast in Snohomish. Actually, probably closer to Clearview, but I represent the Northwest Quad Association out of Everett. And I'd like to just thank the mayor and the council and any of the public that has input in to write the good ordinance for the WTA ordinance when and if it passes. We'd also like to, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the multi-use roadway safety program just rewrote some rules, and that now you can, there's a grant money out there to cover signs.
Oh, nice.
And possibly if there's ever any accident involving the WATV to help pay for the investigation.
Okay.
So I can leave this with somebody.
Yeah, if you could leave it with our clerk, she'll run a copy and make certain that she gets it to the appropriate staff.
Okay, I don't need it back. I've got a copy. But I just want to say thank you to everybody.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to come forward to address the City Council this evening? Any issue? All right, thank you. We're going to go ahead and move on then to consent. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve the consent agenda items 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 7.
We have a motion to approve consent agenda items number 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 7. Is that correct?
Yes, pulling 5.
Pulling 5. Okay, thank you.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford A second from Councilmember Cutterback for consent minus item number 5. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford, we're on to consent agenda item number 5.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to clarify, and I'm glad the attorney is present.
And I'm sorry, let me go ahead and clarify just for the record, for the recording. This would be a consent agenda item number 5, AB 18-110, approval of amendments to the City Council Rules of Procedure. Switch business meetings, study session, calendar. Please go ahead, Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Since the attorney is with us tonight, welcome. I just wanted to clarify and make sure. So under the upon discussion paragraph there, it says business meetings to be held the second and fourth Tuesdays for all action items. And number 2, study session to be held the first and third Tuesdays of each month for presentations and discussion items, no action items. So I just wanted to make sure that we're able to take action, because when it says no action items, I just want to make sure that we're not tying our hands, and I want to be able to take action if needed on those, that first and third Tuesdays of each month. My understanding of it is that there will be no action items scheduled, and maybe we just need to add that word, but.
Yeah, so I think that the answer, Councilmember Hanford, is that the first and third council meetings, which are now being designated as study sessions or work sessions under the proposed revision, will continue to be regular meetings for purposes of state law. And to the extent that you've limited the range of activities that can occur at those study sessions or work sessions, you've done that as a matter of local preference. You can always, through a motion, to waive your rules on a case-specific basis, essentially set that limitation aside and take action on that evening, if that's the council's preference. And your mechanism for doing that is set forth elsewhere in your rules of procedure.
Okay. And there's no notice that needs to be given to take action or things like that, right?
It would be essentially a motion to waive your rules of procedure. I mean, there are other constraints that state law requires, notices for public hearings and things like that, but you will always have the ability to waive that limitation.
Super. Then I'll move to approve the amendments to the Monroe City Council Rules of Procedure, Agenda Bill Number 18-110.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve AB 18-110 from Councilmember Hanford. This was reading in the requested action text in that agenda bill. Now I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda this evening is unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number 1, AB 18-113. And before I continue, we did have 2 ordinances in the consent agenda, so I'm going to ask Ms. Atkinson to please read those into the record. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Let me just pull them up really quickly. Approved through the consent agenda was ordinance number 009-2018, amending Monroe Municipal Code, MMC, Title 10, Vehicles and Traffic, amending local speed limits on various city streets, amending the city's parking regulations, adopting new standards and permitting requirements for overweight vehicles, updating and correcting miscellaneous code references, adopting new standards for the use of compression brakes, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date. Also approved was ordinance number 011-2018, amending Monroe Municipal Code, MMC, Chapter 6.04, Nuisances, establishing and defining public nuisances affecting the peace, establishing regulations therefore, including an administrative departure process, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date. Thank you.
So we're going to go back to unfinished business item number 1, AB 18-113, ordinance number 008-2018, adopting MMC 10.30, wheeled all-terrain vehicles, WATVs, for final reading. Deputy Chief Gennard.
Mr. Mayor, Council, good evening. On the agenda bill,
for WATVs. This was brought forth to the council on April 24th of this year. The only change that has been made is in the description background. The proposed ordinance would authorize the operation of wheeled all-terrain vehicles on public roadways where the speed limit is less than 35 miles per hour or less, excluding State Route 522.
Thank you very much. Councilmembers, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I appreciate all the discussion we've had on this and going back and getting a lot of input across the board, public input. I'm excited about this, and I'm going to move forward with the requested action, move to adopt ordinance number 008-2018, amending Title 10 MMC by the addition of a new chapter 10.30, wheeled all-terrain vehicles, WATVs, thereto authorizing the operation of WATVs on designated city streets, establishing limitations, conditions, requirements, and enforcement standards thereof, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
So, thank you. We have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Camp for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill number 18-113. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. So this is one of the things that can go completely either way for me. I mean, I've listened to both sides, and again, you know, I'll echo what Councilmember Gamble mentioned about all the work that's been done on this from staff and police. And looking at the concerns, yeah, I just didn't find anything of the concerns overly compelling to go in way. Of the benefits, or potential benefits, there again, didn't see or feel that there was anything overly compelling to go one way or another either. And, you know, so throughout this whole process, remained right on in the middle until one day, talking to a friend and says, you know, this all came up because, you know, of the idea of having a trail system from Western Washington to Portland or Oregon, and thought, well, you know, finally something that's, to me, that speaks to me, you know, because as a cyclist, I would love nothing more to have a dedicated paved trail to go from Seattle to Portland. I mean, I'd even be happy getting one to go to Snohomish at this point. So, you know, finally I had something that actually spoke to me, and, you know, and after kind of looking at it from that angle, you know, it started to appeal to me, but there was a lot more that was in between. There's a lot more stuff that had to happen before really Monroe, I think, could benefit or would be a benefit of something like that, of a concept like that. And so, you know, kind of throws me back to going in the middle. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, I just don't have anything compelling enough to go one way or another. And so happen to go with the gut on this one. And I just, it's tough, but, you know, the gut's telling me, you know, no on this. I've heard arguments on both sides of it, and you know, as much research as we can do on both sides and seen on both sides, and, you know, again, there's just nothing for me compelling enough to get completely behind this enough to give it a yes vote. So, my comments on that.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Camp. Thank you.
I can echo some of the things I've heard. It's been an educational process since I didn't know that much about WATVs, and I appreciate everybody taking the time to explain it to me. I believe that with the enforcement by our police department and the self-enforcement by your groups, that this should work. I'm looking forward to seeing how it finally plays out. Like Councilmember Rasmussen, I did have some concerns about them. I still have a few, but I think it's worth the opportunity to see how this happened, how this, like I said, works out. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. And I didn't see who came first, so I'm going to call on Councilmember Cutterback. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank the public for their input. Several of you came out and spoke and kind of educated us, especially to someone who rarely rides. And so I just want to thank the public for your input, and we'll see what happens. Looking forward to this.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Yes, I want to thank all the public input. We've had a couple meetings on this. We had a study session. And actually, when this first came up, I was actually not in favor of it. But through public bringing information, through our discussion, through the couple iterations, you know, it made a difference. So I really want to thank you and encourage other people when other issues come up that they're passionate about to come before council and speak, because it does make a difference, and it does help us make better decisions when we hear the input. So I will be voting for this tonight, so thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
I'm along the line with Councilman Cutterback. I'd like to thank all the people who came in and gave us input. I'd like to, when I first thought about it, I didn't like the idea. I think that one of the things that put me over the top was comparing it with some other things that are equally as small and four-wheeled around, smart cars and things like that, and motorcycles. And I think the one thing that I had to have, and Deputy Kennard told me it was in our demands, if you will, is that they have insurance. Unlike motorcycles, don't have damage. We want this to have insurance. We want there to be responsibility for actions, and I'm hoping that your organization will help us, maybe help you help police your own group for this, because I don't, although in my youth I had the two wheelers that went too fast and too high and all that shit, but I hope it isn't abused. And I would hope that you would help us make that happen, so we can be proud of the fact that we agreed to this and let it go forward and not disappoint.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, let's go ahead and vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? Motion passes 6-1. Thank you, everybody. And thank you for everybody who came to comment. I know that there are a number of people here for WATVs. If you'd like, you can certainly, we can certainly take a small break, and you can leave if you like. Otherwise, we're going to continue with the meeting. Okay? I'm not saying you have to leave. I'm just...
Sometimes people remain after. Yeah.
I'm fine.
Thank you,
All right, so we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item. This is unfinished business item number 2, AB 18-114, ordinance number 010-2018, amending MMC 10 regarding, Title 10 regarding U.S. 2 speed limits, final reading. Mr. Feilberg.
I'm really disappointed they all didn't want to say for this.
We're here for it.
Okay, thank you. You had this 2 weeks ago for a first reading at the request of the Washington State Department of Transportation. They requested that we change the speed limits that we officially designate along SR2 or US2, and that's in response to their investigations of some complaints about pedestrian and bicycle safety along there. A couple things have changed since last ordinance you saw the first reading. They changed the implementation areas, so if you look at where the speed limit is designated, instead of at starting at milepost 13.86, they changed to 13.85. And then at the other end of town, instead of having the speed limit start back up to 55 miles an hour at mile milepost 15.27. They changed that to milepost 15.37. So it doesn't really show up on the map you have because that's only 500 feet, which is about a dot in that size of a map. But that way everyone's consistent in where they're having started. So that's all I have. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
All right. Thank you. Council members. Council member Hanford.
I'm sorry. Can you go over the changes one more time now that I got the map?
Okay. Well, you really can't tell the map, but it's basically, let me get to the map too, where the change is from, let's get this right, from, it goes 35 miles an hour, let's see, let me get this right, 45 miles an hour from city limits at the west until you get to the break there where it's outside in front of the fairgrounds, it's not inside city limits, and then that starts again being 45 miles an hour at 14.14, that's at just the east side of the park and ride lot. And then it stays 45 miles an hour until it gets to 15.37, which is Cascade View Drive. They changed that one just a hair. And then it's 35 through town until you get past the Woods Creek Bridge. And the difference between last week and this week is they moved it out another 500 feet. So it stays 35 miles an hour for another 500 feet before it goes back to 55 miles an hour.
And currently, I see the proposed change there. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mr. Feilberg, I do have a question.
Okay.
The unincorporated section of Highway 2.
Yes.
Where the 45 goes to, yeah. Is the council also approving that section with the speed limit?
Okay. No, there's a break in there.
Okay, yeah. Good.
But the state's doing that, so we showed you what the state is doing. And
perfect.
We're only legislating the stuff that's inside city limits.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm because the colors are outside city limits. All right, thank you. All right, any other questions from council members? Okay, is there a motion? Councilmember Cutaback.
I'll make a motion. I know so this is really for kind of safety in that, right by the fairgrounds. Where
correct, yeah.
We've had a few people come and speak about walking on that area and being, you know, unsafe.
Right.
So I understand the reasoning of why to extend that 35 mm-hmm. and extend 45. That's really what we're doing.
Right. Right.
Okay. All right, move to adopt ordinance number 010-2018, amending Monroe Municipal Code, MMC, Title 10, Vehicles and Traffic, amending local speed limits on US 2, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Cutaback and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen for the requested action in Agenda Bill number 18-114. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? Motion passes 6-1. Thank you, everybody. Great, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. And that item would be unfinished business item number 3. This is AB 18-115, authorized 2018 municipal courtroom city council chambers remodel project in an amount not to exceed $154,000. Mr. Roberts.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone. As you can see, I drew the short straw. A lot of people on the list here, so I expect them talking from the back. We appreciate it. Anyway, back in January, some of us that were here discussed this room specifically as it relates to our municipal campus plan, and also proceeding with some different versions of this room as we expand our potential to do different things, operate a municipal court, run city council meetings. This happens to also be the busiest room in the city. It's the only one that holds more than about 12 people for a meeting. So if anyone's ever tried to schedule in here, it's pretty complicated. Anyway, we keyed in at that time on some of the key components of the projects, ADA compliance for municipal court as well as city council meetings. That would be access, so obviously the dais is not ADA compliant as it stands now. Audio for folks is it's semi-compliant during courtroom proceedings. We basically have a pocket thing that they put in their ear, and it magnifies the court proceedings, and also for council meetings, and then video as well. The other things we're looking at is improving the capacity to accurately record courtroom proceedings, so not only do we have an audio issue with folks that are in there that need ADA compliance, but also it's difficult to pick up some of the attorneys as they orate through their arguments and things like that with the background noise that happens. So if any of you have ever listened to a council meeting audio recording, which you may or may not have, I've listened to several. When there's a big crowd, it can be kind of tough to pick up the mayor when he's talking and other folks at the area up here that are a little bit quieter maybe than some of the ones that are a little louder. And there's kind of the creation of a more flexible and maximized room space. So if this dais is gone and we have some portable platforms in here, we can do some different things with this room that we're not doing now. We can obviously, with portable platforms, remove them, put them off to the side, or store them elsewhere, allow for more seating in this room, and then there's kind of an intangible component to that, and that really revolves around the court and the employees of the court's feeling of security. So I can't say that this improves security whatsoever as far as getting in the door, but I can say that it improves security as access out that door, which I heard several times from Pam and the judge regarding their level of comfort. So be that what it is, it's worth something, and it was worth saying. I didn't want to put in the agenda bill, though, because that's like a whole paragraph about feelings, and it didn't really fit. So anyway, as you can see, the agenda bill here, options to proceed forward. I know it's a huge document, so feel free to ask questions as we walk through. But proceeding forward, we can do all three components, or we can break it up into different phases. If we decide to break it up into phases and doing the audio video is one of the phases we want to pursue, we're going to need to deal with the lights first. Obviously, that makes sense the way it's laid out. We really can't put things up on the wall in this big box above us. So that has to come down, and we have to put in lighting if we decide to do the AV. Other options were to consider this in the future as part of the 2019 budget process. And then another option still was in the 2019 budget process, we have slated to do a facility survey, which includes the buildings that are going to be vacated by Public Works here in the very near future, and then also City Hall and what the future plans are for it. And we can include in, we could consider that after completing the facility survey. So there's the 2019 budget process, or there's the facility survey followed by the options for this room. So with that, I have nothing else to add. Open to questions, and like I said, comments from one of the three, four, five presenters on here. So.
Thank you. Council members, questions? Council member Cutterback.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the facility study and what you're hoping to get from that, and how would that be, and how would this be included in there?
So I think when we are done moving out as a public works department over there, doing the facility study allows us to really know what we have and then what we can do with what we have. So right now we know we have a shell of a shop out there, and it's going to be vacant. There's some, you know, what is architecturally reasonable, I guess is the way I would look at it. So in other words, does it need to be seismically upgraded for $500,000 and why bother? Or is it, yeah, it's a pretty good shell, we can put a couple of floors in here and do some things with it. And that's really bringing in a consultant to be able to tell us those things and give us some more defined potential options for uses of the space that we have, and then just look at the overall picture of how our city operates.
Okay. And then how would, you're saying an option is to wait until that's completed before doing this.
Yeah.
And so what would be the advantage to that?
I think the advantage would be that we wouldn't have spent money on this room that perhaps after the facility study could have been used differently.
Okay. So that's an option. But so when it looked like in the work that is being asked to be done in this room, it makes this room more flexible.
It does.
So even if we did the work and the facilities study showed us something else, it would seem like the work that we did here would make this room, we could turn it into something else.
I would think we could. Buying platforms, they might not be useful elsewhere, but they might be.
Right.
And buying audio video, it might not be useful elsewhere, but it might be. I would hate to put a stamp on something and say, guarantee you can bring it out of here, because I don't think that's being fair to what our potential choices are, right? So
right.
I think the risk is middle-low on not being able to use the stuff elsewhere. I think we probably could. I mean, there's a pretty good chance we probably could,
right.
But I don't want to sit up here and firmly say, when I really don't know the answer, that we can use this stuff elsewhere. So I'd say there's a higher than likely chance that we could, but
right.
That's a risk.
And what if we didn't do this project right now? I mean, what's the risk in that?
risk is pretty low. I mean, there's, I kind of ended with the human factor, and that's a concern, and so there's the employee portion of it. Other risks that are associated with not doing the project now, so let's just say that we have a council member come on, or a staff member, frankly, that is, or have an existing council member, not wishing that on any of you, but needs ADA access.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to be the council member that has to sit down here while all of my peers sit up here. I don't know how I feel about that, but that's my own personal take. So I think that's a risk that we would want to consider. Can anyone think of any other risks for anyone, or were you just moving?
No, I was actually going to say that I think the majority of the risks are twofold, and they were mentioned earlier. One is that right now your audio system isn't really functioning for your court system. You've committed to a court system, and yet you're not fully supporting it with your infrastructure. So I think that's probably the number one concern. I think we can continue to limp along, you know, with the current audio and visual system for the clerk and for the council. But again, it's not really ideal. So in addition to the ADA access and your commitment to having a fully functioning court and to the safety of those that participate in that court system, this is what we're proposing. One point I want to make is that originally we had anticipated that the cost for what's in front of you this evening was going to run about $175,000 to about $210,000. This is coming in at $154,000, so significantly less than we had originally anticipated. And that the funding for this is not coming out of your general fund, it's coming out of your capital dollars. Not that, again, those aren't constrained, you know, with other project opportunities. But I think making this investment now is probably the best use of the unanticipated REIT funding that you've got. It's something that has been on your list for a long time, and in my opinion, frankly, long overdue for a facility that you use a lot, both during the day and for meetings. And I didn't know if Judge Rosano or Pam Haley wanted to make any comments at this point. Mayor, if you wanted to ask them.
Judge, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
I don't want to waste time. We've talked about this before. There were a number of proposals that were on the table. Having the mobile platform allows for the movement. I looked at some of the drawings. I like the one that has the bench up there with the people back here, but that's probably because on Wednesdays I often have a very crowded room. It would offer more seating. For people, if we're doing a jury trial, we may use a different setup to accommodate the jury. So the movable platform actually sounded like it was very functional. As far as the audio is concerned, we have, I know you know this, at least some of you, but if we have someone appeal a decision of the court and there is no record, then the city loses. And if you lose on appeal, you are often subject to the expense of the appeal in addition to the expense of retrying the case. Just kind of tossing that out there as to the importance of the audio in the recordings and the accuracy of it.
Great. Thank you, Judge.
Councilmember Cutterback, anything further?
No.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions? Okay. I'm sorry, Councilmember Cutterback.
Well, Judge, you sold me. So did you, Jacob. I'll move to authorize the 2018 Municipal Courtroom City Council Chambers remodel project in the amount not to exceed $154,000 and to include the project in the 2018 budget amendment.
Okay. We have a motion from Councilmember Cutterback and a second from Councilmember Scarborough for the requested action as typed under Agenda Bill 18115. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Gamble.
No, I just appreciate the conversation. I mean, all of the stuff here, I like the price point. I'm not going to lie, because when we did review this in the study session, that's what I remembered. It was over $175,000. I know there's always that, you know, the thought of, you know, geez, you spend the $154 now, and then do we end up doing something completely different? But I guess what I would throw out there is that we've been, to the city administrator's point, this is something that's been on our books for a very, very, very long time, and haven't
having the opportunity to make something more functional right now is very appealing to me. Doing it in a fiscally responsible manner, taking it out of the capital and having the ability to do it now, and getting that additional access from an audio perspective and the flexibility of the room, ADA, just makes sense to me. So I'll be voting in favor.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I'll be voting in favor of it as well. I just wanted to make sure that on attachment two, it has the platform set up over there. And I just wanted to remind of the importance of being able for us to see each other. And so judging by that, I'm not quite sure how realistic that is. So I'm not sure what the depths of that stage is and everything, so.
Yeah, those are, they're sheets of plywood basically, four foot wide, 8 foot deep. And so the way we have this set up right now, it basically maximizes that arch because of the discussion that we had at the last meeting. There's enough space for a person to get in and out of that seat in the center. I think as we adjust, we might be able to buy a little bit more space. It just may restrict council being able to walk back and forth. We might have to exit off of both sides. But
that's fine.
And I think that'll probably work. It's just one of those where to add additional platform space out there really wasn't readily commercially available. We start getting into custom stuff, which the price point goes up. So if that's something that would the council would like me to explore, we need to increase that maximum price by a little bit. We could do that. So.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that hopefully we can remain flexible as far as the angles of all that.
Yeah.
So that we're able to communicate and talk to you. So. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you, everybody. We're going to move on to the next item on the agenda. This is, that was unfinished. New business item number one. This is AB 18116, authorized purchase of public disclosure request PDR tracking program. Ms. Atkinson.
Mayor, Council, good evening. Bringing this PDR tracking software to you this evening for consideration. This is something that we've had on our minds from the public records standpoint for quite a long time. Very exciting. In the materials, you can see there we give you some information that we have three public records officers, city clerk from police, and then also a municipal court, and we're handling about 1,650 public disclosure requests a year. Sometimes that goes up a little bit more, and the majority of that is our police records. We've always had some tracking standards that we had to keep track of what we are sending out, but back in 2017, the House Bill 1594 expanded those tracking modules out, and now we're having to do a lot more tracking. So that's when we started thinking about what can we do to automate that system, what other improvements would we gain, what other efficiencies by purchasing some software to help us not only be compliant with the new law, but also maybe offer some new efficiencies to our internal customers, which are the other staff that have to spend time on doing these requests, and also to our customers externally that are making the requests. So this type of software would be web-based. There would be an online portal that people could go into, put in their records request. It would automatically track all that information through the portal. Right now, we're doing all of that tracking manually on an Excel spreadsheet. So in City Hall, we're pretty much, we're okay because we're about 165, but if you think about it, that's still a lot of work. But over in police, talking about 1,500 requests a year, that starts to take up a lot of time. So it would really be a great efficiency to have that. Also mentioned in here is that there would also be some gained efficiencies with customer service surveys that we could build in to kind of get some feedback from people. We could get some internal performance measures to see how, if it's affecting how fast we can produce records. So there could be some opportunities there to see how our performance improves. And also it'll have an online payment option, which we don't have currently, so that people could basically just pay online and get their records right then. So we see this as a win-win for us. The cost for the year one is just under $10,000, and then it will go down because there's some implementation fees. Originally, we were looking at a three-year contract in order to lock in fees, but then we kind of found out that if we do that, and for some reason we don't like the product and we want to switch it up, we would have to pay the entire 3 years. So we've decided to go back to a one-year contract. But as far as we're concerned for tonight, we're just asking you to authorize that first year. I just wanted to let you know that that's what we plan to do, is kind of try this out for the first year. And assuming we're happy with the product, we would consider building it into the budget for the next couple years. So thank you for your time. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Okay, I'm familiar with GovQA. Mm-hmm. So what is the difference in what you said? This product has preferred web interfaces and additional services. And what are those interfaces and services?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think really when I'm talking about the web interface, what I can tell you is when we had kind of our panel of crew and we looked at demos from both GovQA and from NextRequest, we just liked the look and feel of what NextRequest had better. We just felt like it was better. It was more intuitive for the requester. We were actually given the opportunity to kind of test out their module, which was something that we didn't get with other vendors. So that was kind of fun to get in there and actually see how it works and see what the notification center looks like. So that was something that we thought was a really great customer service tool that they had. And definitely the customer service, we felt really good coming from NextRequest. So those were really the things that kind of tipped us in their favor. The products are very similar, so using either one, we think we could accomplish more efficiently, but the one that we're proposing to go with, at least for this first year, would be to try this NextRequest.
Okay. In case, I will move to authorize the purchase of the NextRequest platform for managing records requests, authorize the mayor or his designee to sign the associated service agreement, and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate, and include the project in the 2018 budget amendment.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Kemp and a second from Councilmember Cuttaback. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I forgot to ask a question. What's the implementation time?
They said that normally it's about 4 or 5 weeks, and that they would start as soon within 1 week of all of the documentation being signed.
Okay. Because I know GovQA is about 2 weeks implementation and then 8 weeks of back up the fiddly stuff just to make sure it works. But thank you. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, the only question, I didn't see it in here. The other municipalities using this software?
Yes.
So we have, cause the only reason why I'm asking is because I know we went, it was a long time ago, about 6 years ago, where we went down the Google platform way, and then there were some hosting concerns with Google, and I noticed their storage, this is cloud-based, Amazon S3, so I just wanted to make sure that it won't be a, we've already scoped all of that out, and it wouldn't be a move to, and then have to move back like we did before. That's been all been made.
That's correct, and this is really just a module just for public disclosure tracking, so the documents going in there are just related to the disclosure request.
Okay, so, okay, that's clarification I needed. So it's not the actual documents, those are still housed.
Absolutely, and there's a separate retention schedule actually related to both different paths. So documents themselves have a specific retention, and then documents related to a records request have a lower retention. So really, we're having to keep two records at once. Kind of confusing, but the nice thing is that this disclosure module will also include that retention piece so that those records can be compliant with the 2 years. It's 2 years from closure as long as there's no legal holds, whereas other documents in their original format are still going to be kept with whatever retention schedule they follow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other discussion on the motion? Okay, the motion is requested action is typed in Agenda Bill 18-116. We'll go ahead and vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item that we have on our agenda this evening then would come under staff and department reports. We'll start off with council member reports. We'll start off with the City Council Transportation Planning, Public Works and Parks and Recreation and Public Safety Committee, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. My last week draft minutes are in the packet, reviewed the transportation improvement plan, and it'll come back to council in the way of public hearing on the 15th, and then us to council on June 12th for full decision. So there we go.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, we'll go ahead and move on to individual council member reports. We'll start on my right with Council Member Camp. I'm sorry, Council Member Gamble.
It's all good.
I was just looking at the screen.
This weekend begins the, in fact, it's Friday, as I think, up at the high school, is the spring musical. So Guys and Dolls kicks off this Friday. So go up and check it out. There's a little gamble in this one. So we'll be there for every performance. But there is, I think there's two on Saturdays and one on Friday and one on a Sunday, I think, but two weekends in a row. So should be fun.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Nothing to report, but is garbage day with 12 o'clock still right under the result. And it's 91, and we receive a document, our bill, to gain entrance to it. Is that how it works? Question mark.
Ms. Assert's not
We talked about it extensively at management team to make sure that we had good coordination on that day, but for the life of me, I cannot remember how folks were allowed entry into the,
okay.
into the facility. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get that answer to you.
So it'll probably be that tattoo launch.
Did we have correspondence with the school districts?
Oh, yeah, we did.
They're good.
Because I brought it up about a month and a half ago.
It wasn't directly between the city, but what we did was ensure that the representatives from Republic were speaking directly with the school district.
Because there is a performance that day.
We made them aware. We made all parties aware.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're good.
We're doing our best. We hope so.
I just wonder how they're going to get in.
We wonder that too.
That's all I got. Thank you.
Point of information.
Yeah.
I pulled up Monroe this week, and just so you know that there was information in Monroe this week about this, and Hassert wrote this in, and it did say that to participate, you must be a garbage customer within our city limits. An event flyer/release form will be included in your April utility bill, and this form must be presented on the day of the event as proof of residency.
Thank you.
No.
Councilmember
and you're thinking to yourself,
where
did I recycle that?
Councilmember
Thank you. I don't know who mentioned the time or if I misheard, but Citizen here 9-1, talking to the school district today about that day on another matter, I was told it was only going until noon on that day, so I don't know if I need to get clarification on that.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else?
Right.
Councilmember Davis?
I have nothing, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Well, in the event that we don't get to reports next week, and so that the fellows up here don't miss it again, send Happy Mother's Day to Councilmember Playback and all the moms out there in the audience. So,
well played.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford? Thank you. Mother's Day is a week from Sunday, correct?
Yeah.
I have a proclamation. I did. I was going to say it's going to be late, but it's not. Okay. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Nothing.
All right. We'll go ahead and go off to staff now with the Human Resources and IT update. Mr. Worthen.
Good evening, Mayor Council. I know all of the department directors usually tell you what positions they have open, but I figured you'd like to see it all at once. So in your monthly handout is our positions that we're currently recruiting for. First one is our finance position. These are not in any order of importance, by the way. They're just the ones I actively is our AP purchasing assistant position that would open on the 17th. We are actually done. We are currently reviewing resumes, but we've also taken our top five and set up interviews for next week in anticipation of trying to get somebody in here with a little bit of overlap before Rose retires. Second one is the customer service assistant position in the police department. They have, since this was posted, already started testing individuals and working people through the process as well. Police officer is ongoing. They conduct interviews probably about once every couple of weeks, Deputy Chief. Sounds about right. And then the last two are parks seasonals and public works seasonals. We are looking for one additional parks person and potentially two public works seasonals. So if you know anybody looking for seasonal work, please send them my way, as we would like to fill those positions this summer. So, and then last but not least, not on this list because it's not mine, the police chief position did post on Kaufman's website on Friday, and with a close date of June 3rd. So, and just for Councilmember Gamble, we've received about 200 applications for all of these positions, excluding the officer. I know you like your data, so.
Awesome.
There you go. So, any questions?
Yeah. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thanks. For
thank you. Next item under staff department reports is a police update from Deputy Chief Kennard.
Mr. Mayor,
thank you.
Community outreach team, and I know that you already have this information, but it can be read anyway because I think this team is doing a wonderful job and they're very proud of the work they're doing. Two clients completed substance use disorder assessments. Please don't ask me what that is because I have no idea. One client completed detox. Two clients graduated from inpatient treatment. Three clients were placed in housing. Seven new clients. And four clients were provided resources. A couple of cases that I'm going to highlight tonight is one was a search warrant on an animal abuse case. We had our animal control officer go over in the morning. We had several puppies that were concerned about. The owner of that particular residence refused to let us into the house, which was a huge mistake on his part, because then we wrote a search warrant and went in and got to take care of the puppies. During that search warrant, we were able to determine that four of the puppies had died. There were five puppies remaining that were taken to the local shelter and are questionable. But what we also noticed was narcotics in plain sight and a rifle case, which, as well as a rifle safe, indicating there might be a weapon in the house. The individual is a convicted felon and cannot be in possession. We stopped at that point, went down and wrote an addendum to that for drugs and firearms and recovered both in the house. 30-year-old male was booked on possession of controlled substance and unlawful possession of stolen firearm. That firearm was stolen out of Grant Falls area off the road, Menzel Road, with a lot of other stuff in burglary. We don't believe this person committed the burglary, but was in possession of one of his weapons. The other case that I wanted to talk about was we have over at the smoke shop on Lentil, the cigar shop. We had two individuals go into the shop. As they were wandering around, one of them left. The other one was looking at a vape pen and carton of cigarettes. As he was being checked out, he grabbed the merchandise and took off running. At that point, he jumped into a vehicle driven by a female. The owner of the business chased him outside, and we're not clear yet on whether or not he reached for the car and grabbed it at first, but during the process of this, the female sped off, knocking the owner of the business to the ground, severely cutting his hand and messing him up a little bit. They were charged with robbery in the first degree. The following morning, the sheriff's office found the two individuals still in the car up off the Calhoun Road and took them into custody for robbery in the first degree without incident. Very successful arrest on that. So the next thing I have is just personnel update. I should have just given this to Ben, and he could have told you. Officer Hannah Stanley has completed field training and will be on her own out in the field as of May 5th. Officer Brady Pettit is currently on FTO and field training, as well as Nicole Richards. We have one officer in the academy, and that would be Natalie Stanbeck, and one that's waiting to go to the academy, and that is Alex Thomas. We have one position that still needs to be filled, and we have two candidates currently going to background. So, effective May 1st, Renee Aker was promoted to evidence technician, she will be cross-training with Julie Stuvlin, who is retiring on May 31st. And we currently are testing to fill the administration position that was vacated by Renee. As far as stats, our burglary stats are up a little bit. It does appear to be a particular area of an individual that we're kind of keeping an eye on. Hopefully we'll get a handle on that and get those numbers down. Although our vehicle prowls are down considerably for the month. Vehicle thefts and recoveries are running about average. We included a couple of pictures on the bottom of that for you. One is the Easter egg hunt, and one of them was just a birthday celebration that we dropped on. The last one is over at the Boys and Girls Club, and who ended up getting the Easter bunny. That was a week-long event and a lot of fun. I know the officers enjoyed it. I hope the kids did too.
Absolutely.
Are there any questions?
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Can you tell me where on Calhoun Road this guy's was found?
I cannot.
Anything further, Councilmember?
Yeah.
Okay, we can get you additional information on the location.
Thanks.
Okay.
I'll check with your department, find that out for you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I was just going to, you know, say I always love seeing those drop-ins, the birthday, and the other two were great also, but I saw that on some mutual friends on Facebook and just how much it meant to the child. That was really, really cool. So just thanks to Officer Southern. And who else was with Officer Southern?
That is one of our new officers.
That's why I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, that's Noel.
Okay. Richards. Yeah, that was really neat.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Deputy Chief.
Thank you.
We'll just scoot through the rest of staff. Judge Rosano, do you have anything this evening?
No. I got to read the search warrants. I don't know if it was addressed earlier. There was another one that came through that I think the police department should be proud of. The tenacity of the detectives tracked down the owners of the pawn shop here that they closed down, tracked them down to doing the same type of behavior in Everett. My understanding is they served that search warrant and seized a tremendous amount of stolen goods from, again, shutting down a retail theft organization there that was making a lot of money for a very young man. And I think that, if I'm not mistaken, the Monroe Police Department seized a lot of that, so that's a good thing, and they should be proud of that. One of the perks of my position is I get to read all those search warrants.
Thank you, Judge. Mr. Roberts.
Yes. Councilmember Camp, I noticed that a banner before cleanup week came through that office next to mine earlier today, so it'll be up on Monday of this coming week. I know nothing of the details, I just wanted to let you know it'll be up for advertising it, so it's worth something, right? So second thing I wanted to mention is you may have noticed the line of fleet vehicles that are along the eastern edge of the campus here. That fantastic parking area was created by your wildly talented public works operations and maintenance staff people in about a day and a half. So you should be pretty impressed with that. I know it's not the prettiest thing, but it'll do for now while we're constructing our building. That's where you're going to continue to see fleet vehicles park. So just a heads up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Worthen, anything further? Mr. Swanson, anything this week?
Last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I attended the Rhode Island Washington, which is the downtown Main Street program, the annual conference for Washington State over Port Townsend, which was a great opportunity. I got to go with members of the DMA and Commissioner Rousey also. So good time kind of getting to know DMA and talking with them, and some really good classes they put on, very important.
Great. Thank you. Deputy Chief, anything further?
Nothing further.
Mr. Crawford.
Following on from Jacob, they're moving the vehicles over there because construction started starting soon. The contractor will be on site on Monday for a pre-construction conference, and they should be actively digging by the 15th. So.
Okay. Thank you. We'll come on up here, and City Administrator Ms. Nay.
A couple of items I've left on your chairs there, a copy of the upcoming Association of Washington Cities annual conference. It's in Yakima this year, so not that far from home, and it is the 26th to the 29th, and if you've never been before, I really would encourage you to at least attend it once during your tenure as a council member. It actually is quite helpful. They've got breakout sessions. They're always really educational, and it's always good, too, for council members just to be able to share stories and hear what others are doing around the community. There's or around the state. There's oftentimes some really great chances to bring back best management practices. So if you've never attended, there's money in your budget to do that this year, and we'd be happy to help you make those arrangements if you're interested. The second item I have is we're getting very, very close to our first issue of the Choose Monroe magazine. So this is just a printed copy off the copier. We've gone through first proof today and getting ready for second proof. And just to remind you, we're direct mailing all of these to the residents and businesses in Monroe, and it is partially paid for by all of the advertising, so we really have to give kudos to members of our business community who stepped up and helped pay for this. So 7,000 copies direct mailed. We have another 6,000 copies that are going to be going out along the US 2 corridor, 158 sites between here and Leavenworth, Wenatchee, and Chelan, and then on the Edmonds Kingston Ferry, and then also at the Future of Flight Museum and the Boeing Tour. So we have about 10,000 copies that are actually getting to be out and about at over 160 sites in Western Washington and the Cascades. So very, very excited about getting this going. It's been great. Looking forward to seeing feedback, and the next issue is coming out in October. So take a look at it when it finally hits your mailbox, and let us know what you think. Also wanted to just remind the City Council on your upcoming agenda. We are going to be having two presentations at the next meeting, one from the Snohomish County Health District, and that's the needle cleanup kits and disposal. So thank you, Councilmember Kemp, for recommending that they come out and speak to the entire council. And then also an update from the Snohomish County Housing Consortium. They actually did a report about housing in Snohomish County and are going to be coming out and speaking to you about that report and specifically how it relates to the City of Monroe. So we'll focus on what this means for Monroe in particular. Moving on to future agendas, just a reminder for the Council Legislative Affairs Committee, we will be having a meeting on the 15th and taking a look at the draft legislative agenda, and then following that at your June meeting, we'll be talking about your contract for the lobbyists for the upcoming year. So we look forward to that in both May and June. The only other item I want to bring to your attention is just on Tuesday, May 29th, that meeting has been canceled in observance of Memorial Day. And then in June, if you take a look at your extended agenda, we've started to make the switch over to having your study session on your first meeting. So just FYI that we'll be making that change in the coming month. That's it for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Did you also want to mention the Snohomish Fire District number 7?
Oh, yeah, thanks. That was further down on the list. That's something new. I actually had a visit from I can't remember the gal's name. I'll have to go back and look it up. But she does their data crunching and GIS work for District 7, and she provided us with this really nice report that shows the number of calls for service within the city limits, and then the timing of those calls, both for fire service and for EMS. And what I've suggested is that we start to include this in the council member packet once a month, so you can start to see what kind of service you're getting from Fire District 7. We talked a little bit about providing some comparison data, so not just what's happening in the current month, but also how that compares month to month and then year to year, so you can start to see potentially trends in our fire service and EMS activities, and that should help us make better decisions with our fire district.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Lowe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Council, I'm going to be handing out a brief document across the dais. This is a case report that my office recently distributed to our municipal clients, including Monroe. We do this with some frequency whenever there's some developments in Washington law that we feel that our client cities would benefit knowing about. Typically, this is the sort of information that doesn't reach the city council. It more often than not deals with issues that are more mechanical in nature and addressed by staff. But in this instance, city staff thought it was important for this particular report to reach the council and just more or less serve as a reminder to some of the issues that have been discussed in the last couple of years concerning the interplay between social media and the State Public Records Act. The case report in front of you concerns a case known as West versus City of Puyallup that was decided by Division 2 of the Court of Appeals approximately 2 months ago. And this is really one of the first, if not the first, cases in reported Washington case law to address the issue of whether and to what extent a council member's personal Facebook page, social media page, can be a public record subject to disclosure under Washington's Public Records Act. And you'll recall from the social media policy that the council adopted a few years ago and all the discussions that arose related to that, the thrust of the law has always been assumed to be that Facebook posts and other tweets and social media content can be a public record if it involves public business, if it otherwise meets the definition of a public record under the state statute, that the fact that it might be encapsulated in the social media context doesn't somehow differentiate that. In this case, helps make that distinction and drive the point home further. An issue in the West case was whether a council member's personal Facebook page that was established more or less for political reasons, it wasn't associated with a formal city effort, wasn't a city-sponsored Facebook page, whether that and the posts on that were going to be subject to disclosure. And the court, in a very well-reasoned opinion, concluded that although Facebook posts can, in some circumstances, rise to the level of a public record, the ones at issue in this West versus Puyallup case did not. And the court made that differentiation between records and content communications that are being prepared in a council member's official capacity versus records and content and communications that are prepared in a council member's personal or private or political capacity. And the test that the court came up with in that case essentially looks at three prompts. First asks whether or not the posts in question, the content in question, was required by the city, whether this was a required part of the council member's official duties. Second, whether the posts in question were directed somehow by the city. And then third, and this is really where the rubber meets the road, whether the posts were in furtherance of the city's interests. And looking at those, the balance of those factors, the court concluded in the West versus Puyallup case that the Facebook page that had been maintained by the Puyallup council member in question didn't rise to the level of a public record. And I think that the tipping point for the court's conclusion there was that the information contained on the council member's Facebook page, although it related to city business, it involved some City of Puyallup issues, it was all presented in an informational capacity. It was essentially this council member telling her constituents, this is what's going on at City Hall. This is a recent project that our Public Works Department finished. And if you want more information, go look on this link to the city's official website. Here's a land use issue that's going on the other side of town. Things of that nature. And the court didn't use these terms exactly. The differentiation is between a council member talking about city business and informing her constituents about that on one hand versus actually conducting city business on the other. Having a back and forth discussion, for example, on a pending project permit in the city would likely rise to the level of official city business, because that's what city council members do. They interact with their constituents in that capacity. But simply alerting members of the public that particular issues are going on in the city, that was deemed by this court to be purely informational in nature. And because of that, the court concluded that that content on the Facebook page in question really wasn't a public record. That's kind of a long-winded way of saying that there's actually finally some guidance from our state's courts on the issue that we struggled with a few years ago when we came up with the council's social media policy. That said, the takeaways here from me in this case really underscore why you have the social media policy in the first instance, and that is we now have a reported Washington decision that clarifies unequivocally that Facebook posts can be a public record. If they involve city business, if they would otherwise rise to the level of a public record, the fact that those posts might be contained on a particular council member's personal Facebook page are not going to arrest it somehow. So I'll defer to the city clerk with respect to the specific content of your policy, but my strong recommendation is to follow that policy going forward, as we've talked about before, which is take the conservative route, and if you're going to conduct anything that relates to your official capacity as council member using social media, that you do that in the way that the policy contemplates and encourages you to do. Run it through the city server, use your official city social media channels, and reserve your personal Facebook pages and other social media platforms for purely personal and or political use. That's, again, just more of an informational reminder for the council. The staff thought it was important to reiterate that point. I'm always happy to answer your questions offline if you have a question about that. Other than that, I would refer you back to your policy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. So if I understand correctly, you put out an announcement saying the city is building a new sidewalk. That's informational. But if you said the city is building a new sidewalk, what's your opinion of it? That's public record.
I think that hits the nail on the head. And if you're asking that in your capacity as an elected public official, asking your constituents, what do you think about this? I'm going to go take what you've told me and go back and share it with my fellow council members. And based on that, the city council is going to develop a policy. That's conducting city business as opposed to talking about it. That's a better example than I could have come up with, but that hits the nail on the head.
Thank you. Follow-up question on that. If somebody were to post something on their personal page and share something related to the city, and then members of the public commented on it, are those comments public record?
So I think this goes back to the context in which it arises.
Okay.
If the initial communication, the flavor of the communication chain is a purely political or personal context, then I would say no, because it ultimately was, the response was solicited in that particular context for that particular purpose. And there again, there is why my recommendation to the council is that if there's any gray area, if there's any concern as to whether a particular line of posting or communication would potentially rise to a public record level, would be to use your official city sponsored media platforms.
Okay. I just foresee a challenge where you post something that is intended to inform, that people then start asking follow-up questions and acknowledging maybe that please contact me at my server, at the City of Monroe email address, as opposed to going back and forth on a personal account.
That's my strong recommendation. That's consistent with your policy. And
okay.
That cutoff line, the fact that you can point to that as being what you've done in that circumstance, is going to be extremely helpful to the city if you ever do get a public record request, because it will be very easy to say, no, this is where the communication line ended. Everything else is on the city's official server, on the city's official media platforms.
Okay. Final question, I guess, for me then. Do, as a result of this court case you're talking about, should we look at revising our social media policy?
Staff and I are looking at that right now, and we'll have a more thorough update for you at a future meeting.
Cool. Thank you very much. Okay, I guess moving on then to the Mayor Monroe this week. Last week, I think I announced last week that I was part of a welcome for Rest Easy Hair Clinic last week. I think I mentioned that. That's three seats for a hair clinic that specializes in the removal of lice. Also did a welcome for Bliss Yoga and a ribbon cutting. Those were both on Sunday a week ago. On Friday, I met with Senator Palumbo and talked with him and also Brian Wall and Ms. Knight about improvements to 522 annexations in urban growth areas. We then had a meeting around lunchtime with the Association of Washington City representatives and talked to them about annexations and how urban growth areas, urban growth areas that are hard for us to annex can make it difficult for us to have density and to have growth within our city limits. We talked a little bit about the need to maybe make changes to annexation laws so that it's a little bit more efficient for us to annex areas that state law and the county law intends for us to annex. And then we had an Arbor Day celebration with Miss Wood's third grade class at Freilands Elementary School, right around 1:30 or so. Had a classroom of about 25 or so students come out and planted a nice red maple over by the between the restrooms and the new park, the new playground equipment. So had a very full week last week, and I think that's all that I have to report for right now. Is there anything further for business this evening? Okay, seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen and then a pause. I think the second was Councilmember Kemp. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.